I have argued that we must stay away from useless, ideologically laden debates about the system. Rather, I think that creative solutions are far more likely to focus on practical actions which can be taken to address the core challenge of sustainable development, as defined earlier in this presentation. In particular, in my view, they are likely to involve actions on at least four fronts, and here I would like to focus on conservation and technology. On conservation, first, we will have to invest in conservation and in redressing some of the damage done to the environment through decades of neglect. According to the Earth Policy Institute, something like $100 billion should be spent annually to protect topsoil and croplands, to stabilize water tables, to restore fisheries and protect biological diversity. This sum of money is not particularly large in relation to the size of the global economy. It is less than 1/5 or 1% of world GNP. And it is certainly not large in relation to the huge amounts of money made available in recent months by governments in some of the largest countries to deal with the short-term effects of the global financial crisis. It is also less than 10% of annual world military expenditure. A key finding of the latest scientific work on climate change is that the annual cost of introducing control measures for greenhouse gases is far smaller in comparison to the potential cost of uncontrolled climate change. The United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change estimates that stabilizing greenhouse gases by 2030 would slow global economic growth by slightly more than 0.1% per year. What's obvious is that the risks of inaction are huge, and estimates of the economic cost associated with an increase of, let's say, 2.5 to 4.5 degrees Celsius in temperatures suggest an economic damage of some 1.5% of global GDP annually by 2100, with some estimates going even higher. Furthermore, the impact is significantly different across regions, with India and Africa being most affected. We will also need to invest in energy infrastructure to replace aging capacity and meet global energy demand, which, as I indicated earlier on, is growing, but also to boost efficiency. Let me say a word on technology. Obviously, technology can play a key role. More efficient use of energy has reduced the size of energy consumption in global GDP by more than 30% in the past 20 years. Much more can be done in this area, particularly by resort to new technologies of conservation, including greater use of solar power, wind, and alternative fuels. There is encouraging evidence that the auto industry is finally catching up to rapidly changing consumer demand, and there is a race currently underway among car manufacturers to see who will be the first to put an electric car on the market, as the rewards could potentially be very large. Simultaneously, a number of studies are underway in leading research centers to identify a number of human interventions which could either remove carbon dioxide from the atmosphere or reduce the amount of sunlight that comes to the Earth. Under the general heading of geoengineering, these new technologies could play a useful complementary role to other measures aimed at precipitating changes in human behavior. Of course, care must be taken not to overstate the case for new technologies, given the magnitude of the challenges that we face, particularly climate change, and the time it will take for these new technologies to have a measurable impact. Indeed, many in the scientific community think that it is quite misguided to think that a combination of greater energy efficiency and the development of appropriate green technologies will allow economic growth to continue unimpeded in coming decades. There is the additional danger that undue emphasis on technological fixes will result in complacency, since politicians will always be receptive to solutions which do not, in the end, involve sacrifices on the part of voters, such as, for instance, higher carbon taxes, or, God forbid, changes in patterns of consumption or lifestyles. The recently issued Growth Commission report, to which I alluded earlier, lucidly states our challenge. They say, quote, "We do not know if limits to grow exist or how generous those limits will be. The answer will depend on our ingenuity and technology, on finding new ways to create goods and services that people value on a finite foundation of natural resources. This is likely to be the ultimate challenge of the coming century. Growth and poverty reduction in the future will depend on our ability to meet it." Unquote. In this respect, it is noteworthy to observe that